from Psalms 126 or 28. Psalms 128, verse 1 down to verse 6. Let's all together read these verses. Okay, Psalms 128, verse 1 down to verse 6. Let's all together read. Ready to read. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by thy side of thine house. Thy children like olive plants run about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Pastor James Barker, will you please pray for me as I give the message?
All right, let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful to have our dear brother with us tonight and share a little bit about his burden and his ministry there in the Philippines and even around the world, because we know many Filipinos are going out as missionaries into various parts of the world, especially in Southeast Asia. Now, keep your hand on Brother Jimmy tonight. We do pray, Lord, to give the right words tonight, and may the Spirit of God fill him and lead him and direct him. May the Spirit of God speak to us tonight. We came here hungry for a blessing. We came here looking for a blessing. We came here, Lord, looking for revival. And I pray, Lord, you'll meet that need tonight and really speak to hearts. And I pray, Lord, that it'll be, you'll open up the windows of heaven tonight and pour us out a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may visit, please. When Pastor James told me about the lesson that I'm going to share about the Father's Day, and again, as I read these verses, take note the emphasis God has given in these verses. Take note in verse 1 down to verse 4. The Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by thy side of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. But take note in verse 4, take note in this, wherein I believe this is for daddy, for fathers. Take note in this. The verse 1 that God said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. God now made a straight, you know, and specified who is this person in the family. The Bible says, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord.
Amen.
Meaning, God is talking to every daddy. When, you know, when I try to analyze and think about the word father, thinking that that is the title of God the Father, I feel unworthy, and I do not deserve that title, Father. You see? But, you know, God, you know, allow us to use that Father in here. But take note, the kind of father or the kind of daddy God prepared to lead the family. You see, take note on that. In verse 1, the Bible says that in here, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Meaning, the kind of daddy or the kind of father God prepared to lead the Christian family is a God-fearing daddy.
That's right.
You see?
Yeah.
And God gave an emphasis in here. Behold, that thus shall be the man, take note of that, the man be blessed that feareth the Lord.
Amen.
So God called already the daddy that feared him, my beloved, that God will bless this man. God will bless this daddy. And thinking that God is giving us the name Father, I'm thinking of this. Brother Andres, I met Brother Andres.
Yeah.
When God has given you that title of Father, it given you a great honor.
Yeah.
Because that is the title of God. Not only great honor, Brother Andres, but great responsibility.
Yeah. Right.
Meaning God is giving you children wherein you think, you know, you've been responsible with that.
Yeah.
You see? That's why in here, in verse 2, You see how the family, you know, so happy because there is a God-fearing daddy. Take note on that. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. I heard that Andres is a businessman, and thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. God will bless your business. God will bless your job. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by thy side of thine house. Thy children like all the plants round about thy table. And in here, my beloved, not only great responsibility, but great accountability.
Yeah, right.
If you are working in a company, and your position is like a supervisor or a manager, you are accountable to the owner.
Yeah.
You see? Meaning, if God had given you two children, one child, or five children, my beloved, you are accountable for that.
Right.
Being a daddy. You see, I remember when I started to have a family and we had one child, honestly speaking, though I did this advertising fine arts and I want to work just in a, you know, good kind of job in an office, but the time, Pastor James, I cannot find any job in an office, so I need to make a streamer. Streamer is like, you know, a banner like this. You see, manual. And then I finish that, I do that, and then afterward, me also, the one that will go up there, you know, and put that there, you know, the one that ordered me to make that.
Yeah.
I need to work hard because I am responsible to meet the needs of my family. You see? In 3 points I want to share with you, and I want to give emphasis to every 3 points. Take note, my beloved, that when we say a God-fearing daddy, a God-fearing father, this is not for lost daddy. This is not for the unsaved daddy. You see, even you are a president, you know, if you are lost, you know, you are not a God-fearing daddy. Meaning, God is talking to a Christian, God is talking to a person, to a daddy, that had a relationship with him.
Yeah.
You see,
right.
Take note in Acts chapter 16, this is a good example of a daddy. Acts chapter 16, you know very well, and this is very familiar verse, my beloved. But after this daddy got saved, he saved all his family to be saved. Take note in verse 30 and 31, the Philippian jailer, and brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Take note the promise of God. So the verses that did not stop in that, but take note, my beloved, in verse 32, and they speak unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house, to all in his family. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Meaning, my beloved, after the daddy got saved, he saved his own family to be saved.
Amen.
When I was small, I saw my dad like a devil, a gambler, a drunkard, with guns, goons, friends, handling a six gambling club. What if my daddy did not say? What if there is no American that went there way back 1954 that witnessed and preached the gospel? You see? But afterward, you know, I saw my dad with a Bible.
Amen.
I had a same daddy. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what God is looking for, my beloved. That every Christian family have a same daddy, same father that would lead his own family. And see, you know, see their children to be saved.
Yeah.
After God took my dad, Pastor Murada, you know him very, very well, approached me like this. Do you know, Jimmy, that your dad prayed and cried that you might be saved? Oh, I do not know that.
My dad do that? Did that? They're gonna go there. Yes.
Every pastor's conference we had, every pastor's camp that we had, I saw your dad there in the evening before he sleep, you know, in the mosquito net, praying and crying and praying, mentioning your name. That's why I understand, you know, my salvation and your salvation is not an accident.
Right.
There is daddy, maybe, or there is mommy, maybe. There is a pastor, maybe, that pray. But in my case, my beloved, it was, you know, God used my daddy, and God used the heart of my daddy. God used, you know, the person of my daddy just to show concern to my soul that I might be saved.
Yeah.
Imagine. I heard the gospel when I was 7 years old. I grew up, you know, as a kid pastor. But, you know, when I learned about my salvation, there's like a doubt, you know, and there's like a struggle. I even asked another friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, that I asked, Pastor, what do you think of me? Am I saved? Did you receive Christ? Yes. Many times. I was baptized in the Baptist church 2 times already. So you're saved. You're saved. When Father Taala drove me coming here and he asked me a question because he witnessed somebody and told me, Pastor, tell me about, I have a question like this. I witnessed somebody and he, you know, telling your salvation experience is between you and God. We don't know that. It's good that you witness the person. If this person really, you know, been sincere, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will honestly, you know, see some changes in their life. If they really accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. So what I mean to say is this, that so many daddy that have their family, you see, that are not, my beloved, God-fearing, because they are not saved, daddy. And what God, my beloved, prepared for a Christian family is a daddy that are saved. So sad, my beloved, even a family that say they are Christian and they are family Christian, wherein daddy are not faithful to God. I believe, my beloved, we need to check ourselves also. You see, why is it that the same blood of the Lord Jesus that was ours, the same Holy Spirit that indwell, you know, in the life of every daddy, every Christian, the same genesis that we heard about salvation, my beloved, and there is no change? You see, I believe, my beloved, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, all things are passed, let all things are become new.
Amen.
So in here, my beloved, we found out wherein if a God-fearing daddy really is saved, the daddy will see. He is accountable. He's accountable for the salvation of their children. He will do his best to check. Do not just assume that your children are saved.
Right.
Better check them. Ask them. Know them very much. Yeah? It's honestly, it's really a shame. And really, I always make a confession that though my dad is a pastor for 20 years, because, you know, always go to the mountain promise for a mission work, I do not check the salvation of my mom. I remember my mom. After I got saved, I remember my mom. Oh, I believe my mom is not the same. Because every time that we are in church, my mom did not go with us. I do not see my mom, you know, reading her Bible. Mm-hmm. I am that time when I got sick, 29 years old, and my mom is about 68 years old. I talk to my mom, Mom, if you die today, where your soul goes? Oh, I'm good, son, I'm good. I even brought you to our big church there, Catholic Church. You see, am I not saved? I try to witness my mom, and my mom, you know, it's good that God prepared the heart of my mom, and my mom got saved that time.
Amen.
First time I went to America, 1998, my first goal is that I am able to visit Chicago because my mom was there, staying with my sister. And my first question to my mom is this, Mom, if you die, where shall goes? My mom said, in heaven. Why? Because I accepted Christ. Good answer. You see? And then after 6 months, you know, again, there is an invitation, a friend of mine there in North Carolina. And again, my second goal is that I can able to visit my mom. I want to really check the salvation of my mom. If the diversion goes, in heaven. Why? Because you teach me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My beloved, God prepared a God-fearing daddy in a Christian family to live. Second thing that I found out, take note of this, my beloved, that in our text, Psalms 126 or 28, verse 2 and 3, the Bible said, For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, there by thy side of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Again, I remember how I start, you know, in the ministry. Second thing is, a God-fearing daddy should be responsible to take care of the needs of the family. After I got saved, I stopped working. I put, you know, aside all my this business of mine. I make some printing of t-shirts and calendars. And I still money at a bank that they know that I keep during my long time in my business. About 7 years, I have a business. But you know, when that money was consumed, my wife now start, you know, say something against me. Because I preach about the family, and then, you know, the family, the daddy should be responsible to feed the children, you see. And after I give that kind of message, my wife, you know, approached me very, I don't know, if Mom Carmela is also like that. Hey, Jimmy, you see, you preach about being responsible daddy, that the daddy should, you know, feed the need of the family, you see. But, you know, the way you do, you say it, you're lying to your people. You're lying to your church. You're lying to church members because you are not supporting the need of our family. I'm the one working. You see that? So, I stopped my seminary and, you know, just to put up again my business because at that time I had no support yet, you know, to our sending church. Because, you know, honestly, when God calls me, I'm thinking that I am responsible to what happened to me. This church, even the Sunday church, you know, I do not, you know, if they support me, good. No, it's all right. But, you know, I put up again my business just for the support of my family. But after 1 year and a half, you know, the church was blessed and they able to support me. And I go back again to seminary and I finished my Bible school. Thank God for that. And now, you know, my wife been really understand that I am really a responsible daddy and not only responsible pastor, but think about this. I'm thinking that not only meeting the need of the children, daddy also responsible for the emotional and the moral need of their children. You know Jerome already, had a family already. One time, I saw Jerome 6 o'clock in the morning, embracing the mommy and crying so hard because he was operated of a gallstone. And he's thinking, you know, that maybe the sickness will come back and then like nervousness, you know. Thinking that if the daddy is not, you know, there, trying to help the mommy to comfort the children. You see that? In here in America, you know, your custom is about if you're like 18 years old, you want to stay away with your daddy and mommy and you want to live. I'm thinking of if I can buy the time and trust of my children that I can help, you know, time to counsel them and encourage them. You see?
cry so hard. Thank God, my wife is there. But if,
you know, there in the Philippines, you know, what I learned is when we were little, the mommy stay in the house and take care of the children, you see, and the daddy are the one working. But now no more there in the Philippines, you know. That's why even the children are scattered and go everywhere, and then, you know, the dad is able to destroy the life of their children. You see, my beloved daddy and mommy, you are responsible for the moral and even spiritual of your children. And Jerome helped me again in AC school. You know, when there is like a problem again, they cannot handle the children. You know, children are very naughty and they want to correct the children. But, you know, the parents are, you know, they can able to fight with Jerome, you know. Again, Jerome approached and I saw Jerome always coming to mommy. I don't know why, you know. Children are so close with mommy because, you know, they used to that. Mommy is always a protector of their children. You see? And then I saw Jerome and then I said, okay, Jerome, I understand that. Okay, what you're going to do is this. Let that responsibility in ACE give it to your daddy. Find your work for you, for your family. Get that. So I'm thinking that if I can able to help my son better, he will be a good preacher. He's a preacher now. What I mean to say is this. If you give 100% love, you know, love to your son, to your children, you see, if you give the 100%, you know, when this man, yourself, your children, when they grow up, the same experience that they experience from you, they will give that to your children.
Amen. Right.
Have you given that?
Yeah.
But you know, if they do not experience that, what do you expect? I don't know about your situation, my beloved, but I found a family there in South Carolina wherein the daddy, after their work, he find the children, you know. I saw he went with his son play with his teeth and... You see? And they went and tried to help, you know, trying to join and accompany the son that's, you know, young people already. And then I saw the daddy also try to, you know, before the children sleep, you know, the children trying to, you know, want to have a game, you know, with their daddy, that the daddy still have a time for that. What I mean is this. If you say you love your children, love your family, you should be available also, not only in their physical need, you see, but also in their moral and spiritual need. There in the Philippines, there is like the situation. The children of rich men there, you find them always in rehabilitation. I mean, you ask them, like, why is it that you are the son or daughter of rich people, and you are here in rehabilitation? Because my mom and my dad just give us only and fed us and give us money and give us that. Imagine no time. You see, they're looking for the presence of their parents. They're looking, my beloved, for the counsel, you know, of their parents, but they have no time. You see? That's why, you know, understand what you being responsible of. You are a daddy and mommy, and we should be, you know, I believe, my beloved, a God-fearing daddy should take care and be responsible. I will give you just one verse in this point, wherein I was, you know, I was shaken, you know, by these words in 1 Timothy chapter 4, or chapter 5, verse 8. Take note what God said. When I try to look the meaning of infidel in the dictionary, and the dictionary said that the word infidel in here is like a hidden person. Take note, in verse 8, the Bible says, if any provide not for his own family, you cannot provide the need of your family, and especially for those of his own house, your own family. He had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Infidel means hidden. Do not believe God. How can you say that a daddy that is in the family, that they're doing nothing, you know, for the need, morally, spiritually, materially, you know, that supposed to be the daddy, are the one, you know, I remember when they were small and got sick, I even ran, you know, I remember Jemuel, I brought him to the doctor, you know, that because my wife did not do that. It's a weak vessel, you know, you see. So I'm thinking that, oh, the presence of daddy is really very, very important in the family. That's why when God called me to ministry, this is my conviction. My first ministry is my own family. If I have a church, about 50 church members, you see, I should take care of this small part, which is my family. You are my first ministry. Amen. You see? Amen. There's a pastor that correct me like this. Oh, Jimmy, you're not doing right by that, you know. You should give priority to God. No, the church is not God. The church is the ministry of God. You see? And if I did not able to meet the need and did not able to protect and take care of my own family, my beloved, the Bible says that you are like an infidel. Nothing. Like unsaved, the Bible says. Last thing that I want to share with you, my beloved, I want to finish this lesson. Take note in Psalms chapter 91. What kind of God-bearing daddy God expects? Take note in Psalms 91. You know, I love the story and life of King David, how that he showed his love to God. Take note in verse 14 down to verse 16. It was God that said these verses. Take note. Because he had set his love upon me. Because King David set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he had known my name, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I deliver him. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Third thing that I want to share with you is a God-fearing daddy give value to God first. Yeah. What you have valued in your life is what you have. You value God, then take note of the blessing God has prepared to King David. I remember King Solomon, he valued prayer. And then God said, knowledge and wisdom is granted. And then God said, okay, long life, even the life of your enemy, you know, even riches, I will bless you. I remember, my beloved, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added unto you. If you give value to God, God will help you and bless you for your name. I don't know about you, but when I learn to love God, honestly, I even not expecting that one day I will be in front before you. You see, my first time coming to America, the first question of my sister is this. Can you speak English? Yes? Okay, start. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten.